Well, today we are on We Agnostics. And so I don't know how many times I've gone through this chapter, how many times I've read it, gone through it with people, but I got some new things out of it this time. And we are on page 51. And, you know, we agnostics should be really, I don't know, it's, to me, it's change your mind. And so I've been saying the set-aside prayer before the meetings for those who've been listening who aren't here. And I'm going to say the set-aside prayer now. God, set aside everything I think I know about you, God. The steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Open up my mind so that I can hear your truth. Open up my mind so I can let go of my old ideas. Amen. That prayer really says it all for me. And they use the word repent in the Bible a lot, which means turn away. Turn away. And I think we agnostics is telling me to turn away from my old ideas, especially about God and spiritual matters. And what they're really telling us, especially in these pages, is turn away from me and my thinking and my reasoning. And dependence on me and what I think. Because isn't that what was destroying me? I believed things that weren't true all the time. And I acted on them. And that's where the fourth and fifth step really helped me, because I could see how I lived on lies. And it says that we ask ourselves this, are not some of us just as biased and unreasonable about the realm of the spirit as were the ancients about the realm of the material? Now, in the few lines before that, they talked about men's minds were fettered by superstition, tradition, and all sorts of fixed ideas. And that kept them from progress. We had the Middle Ages, and it may even keep us from progress today. But today, we believe that everything will change. So we're the opposite. We think that whatever we have now, there's going to be something new and better. So maybe we're never satisfied with what we have. And we're always waiting for the new. But they talk about Columbus. And he thought the round earth, I don't think he thought it was, they thought that he, when he thought he could, the earth was round, they thought it was preposterous. All the maps had the end of the world. And they had little dragons and things over here at the end of the world. And like Galileo, you know, he said that the earth wasn't the center of the world. And people didn't like that because they believed where they were was the center. And Galileo couldn't explain anything about the galaxies or the stars. None of it made sense, the moon, none of it made sense with the earth as the center. And as soon as the sun was the center of our galaxy, it made sense. And I think that's what we need to do. My life, where I'm the center of my world, didn't make any sense. And Columbus, of course, is the Joe and Charlie famous story. I don't know if I said it last week, and I won't go into all the detail, but the process of change, we want to change when we come to AA, don't we?
Yes.
We don't want to live like we were. Stu wanted to change, didn't you? And then I still want to change, and there are five processes in change. The first is you have to be willing to change. Does anybody think what step that might be? Like step one, like pain, and we're willing to change, but I don't know how to change. Does anybody know how to change when they came in here? No. And that was the problem. And the second part of the process is you have to believe you can change. Now, how do you believe you can change? Well, you see other people change. And this chapter says, believe you can change and let go of all your old ideas so the process will work. And so belief is the cornerstone of the Arch to Freedom. Remember the Arch to Freedom?
Yeah.
And the foundation of the Arch to Freedom is willingness. And then the keystone of the Arch to Freedom is a decision to change. Anybody decide to change? Anybody ever take the third step? So we decide to change, but we haven't changed yet. Now here's, I think, where people fall down. They think they go to meetings and they're going to change. Change is action. And to me, it's the action of the steps, and it's the big book. That's the message to the world that AA gave. AA didn't give a message about fellowship. It gave a message about a program of action that if you followed this program, you would change. And what did you? What would you, we change? We changed my personality, and I changed my relationship with God to one that didn't exist, to one that works, and that I can go to, and I can trust my higher power. And that's what you get as the result of action, and they call that faith. So the action is 4 through 10, and we get faith and knowledge of God in 10 and 11 and 12, and we improve that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So Galileo thought he could change. He believed that he could go east, west to east, right? He believed he could do it. He got the woman from Spain to give him the ships and the money, and he had the ships in Spain, but he hadn't changed yet, had he? He didn't know. So he got in the ships, and remember they had the famous sailor in the first ship. Columbus was in the last ship because he wasn't stupid. And if there was the end of the world, he wanted them to know about it. So he had picked that poor sailor in the first ship to look out for the end of the world. They did. Joe and Charlie said it, I believe it. And so, but then they hit land. And then he knew. He had taken action and he knew, and that's what we do when we take action in the steps, we know that there's a power in our life. And then when he went back to Spain, the second time he went, he didn't need the sailor. And it makes a lot of sense. So in We Agnostics, we're looking at to believe we can change, and that we're not going to believe we can change if we hold on to my old ideas. So then they talk in this paragraph about 51 about Kitty Hawk and the Wright brothers, and they sent a reporter from the Charlotte Observer to Kitty Hawk, and when they flew, he was afraid to report it because people were absolutely convinced that man couldn't fly. And he reported that, and now on page 52, it says, but in most fields, our generations witness complete liberation of our thinking. So we have liberation of our thinking, like we believe there's going to be a new iPhone or a new this or that, right? People believe that. We're open-minded to that. And so he talks here in this first paragraph about, in those days, they were talking about going to the moon. This is 1938. And somebody said, I bet they do it. And it says, is not our age characterized by the ease with which we discouraged old ideas for new? I think that's probably true. Anybody believe that? But here's the deal. Are alcoholics ready to do that? Are we ready to let go of our old ideas about what's best for us and what we think we know? Yes. It's very hard for alcoholics to do that, isn't it? So it says, and this is a powerful paragraph on page 52, everybody should read and know this. It says, I have to ask myself why I shouldn't apply to my human problems the same readiness to change my point of view. So if we're really to characterize by we're willing to discard our old ideas for new, I have to change my point of view towards my human problems. Now, does anybody have human problems when they came here? And anybody still have human problems? Of course we do. It says, so when we come in, this is called the bedevilments. Bedevilments means to torment or harass maliciously. So I'm harassed and tormented by, I was having trouble with personal relationships. Anybody ever heard of that in AA?
Yeah.
Anybody still have it? Now these things that I'm going to read are really bad in the beginning. Now remember, this book was written so that people could relate to this and do this. So they're talking about when you first come to AA, but it can apply sober. And this isn't things that happen just when I drink. This is what happens when I'm sober. I have trouble with personal relationships. Remember, it says we're in conflict with everybody and everyone, remember?
Yeah.
On page 60, where it talks about a life run on self-will can never be successful. And it says we're in conflict with everybody and everyone. And then on page 84, where we have the world of the spirit, we're with God, it says we're not in conflict with everybody and everyone. And so it says I couldn't control my emotional nature. Whatever my emotional nature was, it wasn't good. And I couldn't control it. Anybody get angry a lot? Bothered? Fearful? Rage? Any ragers in here? Prey to misery and depression. Prey to it. We fall prey. We are succumbed. We're killed by misery. Anybody miserable when they come in here and depressed? I think there's a difference, and I have to clarify this, between organic, severe organic depression and alcoholic depression. The depression they're talking about here is from not getting our way. From the world, it's not working out the way we want it, so we're depressed. We don't like the way things are going. And people aren't obeying me. And things aren't going the way, so we get miserable and depressed. We can't make a living. Some people can still work, but not well, because we're so, our lives are such a mess at the end. And it says, I had a feeling of uselessness. Anybody feel useless? It's a bad feeling. It's hard to describe, but you just don't feel like anything's going well. Full of fear, not a little fear. I was full of fear. I was in terror. And I'm not full of fear today. What a gift. But I was full of fear when I came in. I was full of fear before I gave up. And I was unhappy. And I couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. I couldn't help myself. And it says, was not a solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? In other words, I need to change my point of view that there's a solution to this, and that all I have to do is change my point of view, and it'll happen. And I wrote, this paragraph describes a life run on self-will. People say, well, what does it mean? I believe we came to believe that our lives were unmanageable. Well, this is it. You read this paragraph to them. Ask themselves to look at this. 52. Sorry, second paragraph. And page 52. And so have them read this, people who are new. And I thought that this is really the symptoms of a dying spirit. When you're on page 52, your spirit's dying. You're dying spiritually. And so what they're saying is, if you're living like this and you're dying spiritually, there's a hope for you. So here, this paragraph is meant to be followed with the second paragraph. When they wrote this book, wherever they tell us what's really bad about us, they always put the solution in the next sentence or paragraph. So it says, when I saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, I had to stop doubting the power of God. So if I'm having these bedevilments, I see other people solve this by relying upon the spirit of the universe. And we had to stop doubting the power of God. And how would I see this? Through the fellowship, through our stories. This is where fellowship's powerful. You come in here, you see people who've recovered. And you see what they did, and then you ask them what they did, and they show you the book, and they take you through the book. That's how AA worked in 1939. And I have to stop doubting the power of God. My old ideas did not work, but the God idea did. Now, I also think that I could believe in the God idea, but block it. I blocked it. I could pray, I could believe there's a God, and I could even believe that God could help me, but I blocked it. I wasn't completely open-minded to letting go of my old ideas. And my old ideas is that I had a part in this plan. You know, I had some role that I could play and I could fix myself. It says, the Wright brothers had a childish faith. And their childish faith that they could build a machine which would fly. And it was the childish faith that led to this. So we're asking you, when you come in here, have some childish faith. And without that, nothing could have happened. It says, we agnostics and atheists were sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems. So a lot of people say to me, well, I wasn't an agnostic or atheist when I came in here. But ask yourself, were you sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve your problem? I think all alcoholics did. We all had some plan when we came in here. And I think why people die after they come to AA, they don't give up on their plan. They still think of their self-sufficient ideas on what they're going to do. And so I think we're all agnostics in a way because we all thought that we had a plan. Notice when people, Sandy Beach says, when people come to AA and they're new, like from Vallejo, we didn't go around the room and ask the Vallejo people what their plan was, right? He says, if you're new, we don't want to know what your plan was. We want to tell you what this plan is. And this isn't Michael's plan. This is, I believe, God's plan through AA. And so when others showed us that God's sufficiency worked, we began to feel like those who insisted the rights would never fly. And I wrote, I have to change from self-sufficient to God-sufficient. That's really all, and God is sufficient. I think there are how many scriptures on that, Gary? About 1,000. God is sufficient to all our needs, right? Yeah. And if I go from self-sufficient to God-sufficient, then my life will get better. And then they talk about logic. They say logic's great. We liked it, we still like it. It's not by chance we were given the power to reason, to examine the evidence of my senses, and to draw conclusions, the top of 53. That is one of man's magnificent attributes. So what is attributes? We have the power to reason and think and logic, right? And we agnostically inclined would not feel satisfied with a proposal which does not lend itself to reasonable approach and interpretation. But if you look at see how they, hence we're at pains to tell why we think our present faith is reasonable. So they're going to try to present why the God-sufficiency is very reasonable. And it's actually much more reasonable than self-sufficiency. And I think pages 60, 63 tell me how self-sufficiency worked, right? It didn't work at all. And it says, and pains means careful alpha effort. Why we say our former thinking was soft and mushy when we threw up our hands in doubts and said we don't know. Did anybody actually say at the end, I just don't know what to do anymore? I mean, that's what I think we're actually saying to ourselves. At the moment of complete defeat, right? Stu is wondering, how the hell did I get myself into that? Why didn't I take a different highway? But really, how did we get ourselves into this predicament? I remember that. How did it all happen? And it says, now here's the powerful paragraph on page 53. And it says, when I became an alcoholic, and I wrote here, I don't know where these notes came from. I've had this book a long time. I wrote simple past tense of become. So when I became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, I could not postpone or evade. So was I an alcoholic before I was crushed by a self-imposed crisis? Or when did I become an alcoholic? And I think what they're saying is we're alcoholics for a long time. But it's when I'm crushed by a self-imposed crisis. Now, I don't always know it's self-imposed at the time, but it is self-imposed. I could not postpone or evade. So I think what they're saying here is there comes a point in all alcoholics when we're crushed by this self-imposed crisis and we become an alcoholic because we understand at that moment that I'm powerless over alcohol and that my life is unmanageable. So that may be the first step. Crushed by a self-imposed crisis, we cannot postpone or evade. Now here it is. I had to fearlessly face, that means I had to look at the question. Proposition is question. And we call this a second step proposition, question, and we use this for fear. And you'll see how that's related. Fearlessly face the question that either God is everything or else he's nothing. So when I'm crushed by this self-imposed crisis, this is what I think hitting bottom means. You're crushed by a self-imposed crisis and you become an alcoholic in your mind where you're hopelessly defeated. And you have to face the question, is God is everything or he's nothing? And I know I asked God to help me. I got down on my knees and I said, God, please help me. I give up. I'm done. And it says, either God is or he isn't. What is our choice to be? And a famous AA speaker says this is the only choice really in AA. What is your choice? Is God everything or is it? What's your choice to be? And it's actually the only choice I make all the time. Am I choosing God everything when I get in that car? Or am I choosing me? Well, I know, you know how you're choosing you? You're worrying about something. You're stewing about something. Now, fear to me is whenever I choose that I'm everything. I still do that. I'm admitting it, it's on tape. I choose when I'm everything and I get worried because I worry about that area of my life. Now, today, whenever I get a fear, I say, well, gee, you're silly, Michael. You're playing God. You're choosing you running the life. Give it to God. It's not even real, right? It's always in the future. And so whenever I choose me running any area of my life, I have fear. And if I choose me running my day, guess what? It turns to crap. But in the beginning, they're saying, what is your choice to be? You only have a choice. Either God is everything. There is no third door here, right? And so alcoholics are looking for the third door. And I can't find one in this paragraph. It's like we're going to have an alcoholic death or live in a spiritual life. Well, we don't like that either. What's the third door, right? There are no third doors in the big book. It says, arrived at this point. So I'm arrived at this point where I have to face the question, God is everything or nothing. So I'm questioned with the question of faith. Now it says, I couldn't duck the issue. And this paragraph is really has a lot of information in it. It says, I couldn't duck the issue. Some of us had already walked far over the bridge of reason towards the desired shore of faith. Now, I should have copied that. I have that that little picture where it shows this bridge. And over here is reason, and over here is faith. And when we come in here, all the alcoholics are over here. And they showed steps 1, 2, 3 is when you get, like, to the first post of the bridge. But you got to do the rest of the steps to get to the other shore. And so that's what we're trying to do. And it says the outlines and promise of the new land. So we're promised by a new land, which brought luster to tired eyes and fresh courage to flagging spirits. That may be what happens when you come to A, right? You see, there's a new land here. And you want to find it.
Yeah.
We seem to have a new land. Your land's no good. You better find a new shore. And get off of your shore. And it can bring, some people feel really good just coming to AA in the beginning, right? Because they feel like there's hope. And I think that's why they see a new shore, right? Friendly hands had stretched out and welcome. So there are friendly hands over there on that other side. And I was grateful that reason had brought us so far. But somehow we couldn't quite step ashore. I think that happens to so many alcoholics. That's why they die. They can't let go of their old ideas and go all the way with the steps, 100%, right? Go to any length, give up on themselves to get to the other shore. And it says, perhaps we've been leaning too heavily on reason that last mile, and we did not like to lose my support. So what was killing me is my reasoning. And I wrote, people fight the steps. Anybody ever seen that? Yeah, everybody has their own, new people have their own program. They have their own, and the fellowship has taken a program that's changed from the book. And it says, I wrote, can't get the deal, can't get faith. And why? Because they hold on to the reason. Now, I wrote here, if I rely on reason, I have no power. Anybody see that? See you guys. And there's no power in my reasoning. In fact, there was the power to kill me. It's called self-centeredness. It's reasoning based on self and what I wanted. Now, if I'm trying to reason on what God's plan is for me each day and connect with God, that's a whole different matter. And it says, that was natural, but let us think a little bit more closely. Without knowing it, had we not brought to where we stood by a certain kind of faith? And here's the thing that, and these lines, you know, we read it a lot, but people don't notice. Was I not believing in my own reasoning? We believed what we thought. Anybody have a thinker that tells you crap all day long? See, I had that thinker my whole life, and I believed it. And when I was crushed by self-imposed crisis, what I was really saying is the thinker doesn't work anymore. The thinker can't get me out of this. I better stop listening to that thinker and listen to somebody else. And so I believed my own reason and it killed me. And I believed and trusted in my God of reason. And that's such a far separation from God. Now we can use our minds to connect with God. But we can also use our minds to separate. It says, did I not have confidence in my ability to think? Anybody think that their thinking was good?
No.
Because everybody came in here could think, right?
Yeah.
And they had thoughts. Now, when we do fourth and fifth step, we look at our thinking. And we look at our reasoning. It's not pretty. And we look at how we had anger and fear and shame and guilt. And it says, wasn't I faithful? Faithful to the God of reason. So one way or another, I discovered faith. It had been involved all the time, but I wrote wrong faith. Page 62, I had to stop playing God. I believed in me. I was the God of reason, right? And I believed what I thought, and I played God. Anybody judge people?
Yeah.
There you go. How's that working for me?
Good, it
works. I used to love it. I was absolutely, I should have been on the on a game show. Judgment. Judgment, and they have the alcoholics competing with each other on who they can judge, and they're judging each other while they're on the show. And you know, it's just a killer. But I was born with a gift. I could see people and know what was wrong with them.
Chief critic.
Chief critic, and it didn't work for me. Because I was just trying to build self-esteem. I didn't realize it at the time. I was trying to feel good by putting other people down. It didn't work. It was sad. It was very sad. And then guess what? If you're judging people, they don't like you. And then they're going to react to you. And then you're going to judge them even more. And then you're going to take actions on your judgment. So if I can, some people had to leave early. We unfortunately lost one of our members, and they're having their service. I just want to read the next paragraph. So we found, too, that I'd been worshiping. See, I was worshiping God, but I put a different name on God. It's I was worshiping people and approval. Anybody else do that? Sentiment, things, anything. Money, ourselves, you see. I had a higher power, but it was them. That was my higher power, because whatever you worship is what is your higher power. We studied Philippians yesterday, right, Gary? 4:29. Focus your thoughts on good things. Because if you focus your thought on bad things, you're going to think bad things. And remember, what we focus our thinking on is what we become and what we do. And so I was a worshiper of these things. And it said, how much did these feelings, these loves, these worships have to do with pure reason? Well, not, you know, people and sentiment, things and money. And it says little or nothing, we saw it last. So when I worship these things, it really didn't make any sense, right? And it looked just like Galileo, the world didn't make any sense when the earth was at the center. But if I put God at the center of my thinking, then it makes sense. It says these things, the tissue out which of my life was constructed. So I made my whole life, when I looked at my life story, it was all about money, sentiment, right? Worshiping people and all that crap. And it says it's impossible to say I had no capacity for faith. I did, for or love or worship, because in one form or another, I'd be living by faith and little else, but faith of the wrong things. And the worst thing that was wrong with my faith was I believed in me and I could figure things out. And once I gave up on me figuring things out, then my life became better. And I think that's the first step. We give up on me figuring out anything. I'm done. I'm complete surrender on me. And I remember Nancy was one of the first meetings I went to. When I walked in there, I said, I'm going to do whatever they say. They have a better plan than me. And I said, God, I'm just going to get on your shoulders and you carry me and I'll do whatever you put in front of me. I gave up completely on me. Now, I don't know how long that lasted, maybe 20 minutes, maybe an hour, but the thought was there, you know? And I became willing to keep giving up on myself. And you know how you do that? You listen to people and they tell you what to do and then you do it. And the more you keep listening to other people, you're not listening to yourself. And so I'll tell Spots, he used to call me every day. Very complicated. I haven't written it out. It's such a complicated direction, right? Call me every day. And then I say 3 days later, he didn't call me yesterday. Oh, yeah. Are you willing to go to any length? So I started easy. I tell him to read doctor's opinion. It's very complicated. It's like 5 pages. And I asked them to do it. And why am I doing that? Not to be mean. I'm giving them directions on things that are good to do. And that's what this book does. This book is a book of directions on good things to do. And they're not your things. They're their things. And so all you have to do is follow the directions. But I thought these, I'm going to stop here. These 4 or 5, we didn't read much today, but these pages have so much information in them. And they really define the first step, giving up on me and my reasoning and my thinking, and being believe in somebody else's reasoning and thinking. In the beginning, it's the book in AA, and then after you grow in your relationship with God, it becomes God. Does this make sense?
Yes,
all right. Thanks, everybody. And welcome to our new person.
Thank you.